It's Bishop and Laurinaitis's What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a first Friday. Browns, last one standing on the coaching front search. And for that, and for a little more on that, we visit our buddy Dan Lobby on the hotline here, the Browns reporter for Cleveland.com, Brian Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Dan, let's start with the idea, and I think it's been this way probably from Jump Street, that the eyes, my view anyway, is that the eyes of ownership reside squarely with Josh McDaniels. I'm not sure how Paul DePodesta, we know that he wanted Stefanski last time out. They're going to interview Stefanski, I believe, tomorrow. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. And McDaniels on Friday. How do you see this thing at this point with all the other, everybody else has dance partners? I don't know if that's a position of strength or weakness, but I would think that the two guys that they've kind of had their eyes on are both there for him.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a position of strength for this team, at least based on who they interviewed. I mean, the only guy they interviewed that they've lost out on was Mike McCarthy. And considering, you know, that was the first interview and Jimmy Haslam did a press conference in the middle of the interview and then they got on a plane and interviewed Greg Roman. I don't know how interested they really were in McCarthy. So things have sort of fallen the way the Browns wanted them to. You've got the interview schedule right there with Stefanski and then McDaniels. And I think those have been the two guys targeted from the jump. The Haslams have always sort of had a fascination with Josh McDaniels. You mentioned Paul DePodesta and Kevin Stefanski, how he was a finalist last year. So everything has kind of broken the way the Browns wanted to break. So there's really no excuse if they don't get the guy they want here.
And Dan, for this job of the next head coach, whoever it is, goal number one for the organization has to be kind of a bounce back for Baker Mayfield, doesn't it?
Exactly. They've got to hire a guy who obviously believes in Baker Mayfield and still believes he can be a franchise quarterback, and a guy that's going to coach him the way he needs to be coached, that's going to make him better, that's going to push him when he needs to get pushed, but is also willing to sort of let Baker be Baker. You know, you can't hold back that personality. That's who he is. That's made him who he is. But sometimes you have to rein him in a little bit, push him a little bit, but they need to find the guy that's going to get Baker back to more of what we saw in the second half of 2018 as opposed to what we saw most of this last year.
Yeah, it's a delicate line they're trying to walk there because, you know, Freddie Kitchens is hired because of his relationship with Baker and because of the way the offense looked at the end of last year, and then he gets the job and is probably out over his skis pretty quickly on it, gets very little in the terms of organizational support from the front office in terms of trying to keep it in order, and I think he dealt with probably more than anybody I've ever known in a first year as a head coach in terms of off-field stuff, in terms of what you have to deal with. And so they got to find somebody who, A, likes Baker, but I think, Dan, I think it's really important that they find somebody that holds his feet to the fire, too, and treats him. And that's, I would think that would be the McDaniels hire. I don't know enough about Stefanski, but to me, that strikes me as McDaniels, just knowing the way that Belichick treats Brady, just like he's everybody else. I would think McDaniels would be the guy for that.
I agree with that. And I think if you're Josh McDaniels, you're going to always be able to say to Baker, hey, I worked with Tom Brady. You know, I was Tom Brady's offensive coordinator. You know, we work together closely, and you'll always be able to refer back to that. There's really no counter argument to that, right? If you're Baker Mayfield, as far as Stefanski goes, I think the hope there is sort of what he's been able to do with Kirk Cousins. And obviously, I hope Baker Mayfield ends up being a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. But you look at how he sort of built that offense with Dalvin Cook. They've used that Gary Kubiak kind of Mike Shanahan blocking scheme with their offensive line. And you know, maybe Stefanski can come in and sort of pump the brakes on Baker a little bit, build this offense a little more around, you know, that Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt tandem, and then let Baker sort of, you know, kind of grow into being, again, more the quarterback we saw in the second half of 2018 and take a little bit of pressure off of him, which is sort of what he's done with Cousins.
Dan, if you brought in Josh McDaniels, who's going to be the guy then, do you think, that gets the general manager? Because it seems coach, then GM. Do you know any names that might be associated with him?
You know, Nick Caserio is the obvious one. You'd have to keep an eye on him. I'm actually blanking on the name of the other person in the personnel department over there
Ziegler.
Right now. But yes, Ziegler. You know, I would look at one of those two guys probably as someone that would that McDaniels would want to bring with him if it really is up to him.
Dan, and that's the, you know, I think. I had a moment a week ago Monday. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, joining us, Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. I had a moment last Monday where I said there's just no way John Dorsey can return. It just kind of hit me. It was just a moment, and he was fired the next day, or they mutually decided to part ways the next day. That it was just there was the people that they were interviewing were not going to be people who were going to want to work under John Dorsey, and I don't think John Dorsey wanted to be walking hand in hand with anybody. It does, however, now that we've had some separation, it does not at all take away from the fact that if you go back 6 months, you can't comprehend that John Dorsey is not going to be with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this is a guy who's throwing his sweatshirts into the stands at preseason games, signing his hat. I mean, they sell his sweatshirt at the team shop. Like, it's impossible to wrap your head around the fact that he's fired. Has it sunk in totally how it got to this point? And do you think there was any way to salvage that relationship, or was this the only way that they could have gone forward?
It just really all fell apart so quickly. And you know, I saw yesterday a photo of John Dorsey with some Browns fans, and I thought, I can't believe it. It was like the middle of the season. And even then, you know, I couldn't have ever imagined that John Dorsey wouldn't be here, even if Freddie Kitchens wasn't. But, you know, that vibe going into the Cincinnati game and just being in the press box and talking to a few people, you just sort of got the sense that things were off and that it was maybe a real possibility that there could be bigger change than just the head coach. So, you know, you got to give John Dorsey a lot of credit for, you know, adding talent to this roster. But the reality is, like you mentioned, if Paul DePodesta is going to be involved and helping to run coaching searches and being really involved in this organization, I just don't think that was ever going to jive with the front office that John Dorsey brought in. They are, you know, they aren't like an anti-analytics group. I think John Dorsey is, you know, I think he uses analytics and data, but he's not as hardcore about it as a guy like Paul DePodesta is going to be. And that seems to be where the pendulum is swinging back for the Browns.
Dan, as we head into this offseason, if you're the head coach GM, who are maybe two guys that you're going to have to make really big decisions on that roster now? And also, what are two or three position groups? We know about offensive line, I'm sure you're going to throw out there. But what are the other position groups you're saying we have to address this?
Well, a couple of guys that you have to make a decision on, you know, is obviously going to be a guy like Joe Schobert, who is going to free agency.
Yep.
It didn't feel like he was going to be back with John Dorsey here. Well, what if the new GM and coach come in and say, you know what?
Right.
We really like this guy. We like what he brings to the table. So he's a guy that they're going to have to make a decision on. And, you know, I mentioned Kareem Hunt earlier. He's going to be a restricted free agent. And I would imagine that whoever comes in is going to want that type of talent back. But the fact that John Dorsey brought him in and John Dorsey threw him that lifeline, that was always kind of the tie that kept Kareem Hunt here. If somebody comes in and doesn't like that baggage or maybe doesn't trust it, I think that changes. And I think that would be really unlikely. But, I think that's something to keep an eye on since Dorsey, the guy that brought Kareem Hunt here, is no longer here. As far as position groups, right, offensive line you mentioned, how about safety? You know, you're going to have to do something at safety because Demarius Randle is a guy. Another player you have to make a decision on. Sheldrick Redwine was playing after Morgan Burnett got hurt, and he was okay. You know, do you go forward with him, or, you know, do you have to address that position? I think that's kind of the area that not a lot of people are talking about, but I think the Browns need to shore that up.
Yeah, Dan, I just to piggyback on that, I think it's really critical that, and I think the Haslams will do this, whoever they hire will be somebody who likes the roster because they're not in any mood to tear things down or tear it apart. I mean, they feel like they're close. So it's got to be somebody who likes the roster. I really do believe that. Great stuff out of you, Dan, as always. We appreciate you, bud.
All right. Thanks a lot.